God is good.
All the time.
Abide with me in the first for the evening tide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me in abide. When other helpers fail and comfort flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. I need thy presence, every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempest's power? Who like thyself, my God, and say can be? Through clouds and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I would like to recognize Pastor Sam Davis and the family. I know the family has been going through a lot of troubles these days. The father has passed away, the son has passed away. But I believe we worship a God who is alive all the time. Amen. So we're going to pray for the family. This from me. We're going to pray for Pastor and the family. And also, among others, a gentleman called Randy Adomakon. He's here with us. He'll be leaving us to the army. So we have to commit him also in the hands of God. So bow down our heads as we pray for these two families. Our Father in heaven, glory and honor be to your holy name. In every circumstance, in every situation, we ought to glorify your name and magnify your name. Because we don't know your plans for us, but we are sure that your plans are good and perfect in our lives. This morning, afternoon, we are committing our senior pastor, Pastor Sam Davis, and the family into your care. You know they've suffered two blows of death, but we know, Father, you are with them. Strengthen them, and God be their strength. Even as they pass through these difficult times, let your strength be theirs, that your name will be glorified at the end of it all. Also, we are praying to commit Randy in your hands. She has been coming to church and worshiping and fellowshipping with us. The time has come for him to leave us and go into the army. As he goes, be with him, protect him, and guide him. Lord God, whatever has been the impediment in his way, remove it, that your name will be glorified. Randy and Pastor, God, the Lord be with you wherever you go. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Abide with me, fast for the evening tide. You know, I like the lyrics of this hymn. And I don't know why we do sing this hymn when somebody is passed away. But when I was just looking at the author of this hymn, I came across the name Henry Francis Lett. He was an Anglican pastor or priest. He was a vicar of All Saints Church in Brisham, England. And he contracted the disease called tuberculosis at the age of 54. And when he was about to pass away, he wrote this hymn, Abide with Me, Fast for the Evening Tide. It tells me that when we are in difficult situation, God will still abide with us. So today, the topic that I've selected to talk about, I've called it Abide with Us. Abide with Us. Take your Bibles and open with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 28 and 29. Then they grew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would go further. Verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and stayed with them. Amen. Can I get a mic?
One, two.
Thank you very much. The day is bright and fair. The sun is on. It is not yet evening. Why abide with us? You know, when you read 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5,
It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? By him all things were created, and nothing was created apart from the Word. In him is what? Light. And that light is the life of the world. You know, we are living in a very dark world. And there's only one light that can help us to pass through this difficult world. And that light is Jesus Christ. So abide with us. Abide with us. When everything is gone, there's a story that I want to share with you. There was an insane man, a madman. You always see him with a light. In the afternoon, he'll be walking on the street with a light. In the evening, he'll be walking on the street with a light. And when you approach him and ask him, "My friend, it's daytime. Why are you having the light at this time?" He tells you, "Yes, it's daytime. But around me, it's thick darkness. And I have to go through this thick darkness with my light." Who is your light? Who is your light? As you see the sky fair and bright, never think that is what it is. There's something that we cannot see with our naked eyes. And we need the light of God to guide us through. Abide with me. Fast for the evening tide. Abide with me. Fast for the evening tide. A professor told me a story. One of our devotions at New Board. He says that, "Friends, I know most of you are here to learn about God, to study about God, that when you go out, you can tell people about God. But most of you will leave this college without knowing God. Most of you will leave this college without knowing God." And I was intrigued because I was there to study about God and know God more. But here is a professor, a theologian telling me, "Friends, you are here. But I can bet you most of you will leave these premises without knowing God." Coming to think of it, knowing God goes beyond knowing about God. I did not understand when I graduated and came home. Then I was reflecting. Then it don't all mean I can study the entire Bible and have the entire Bible in my head without knowing who Jesus is. It doesn't matter your profession. You can know about Jesus without knowing who he really is. Friends, when we come to Adventism, God has given us a lot. God has given us the prophecies. He has given the scriptures. But the question to you is, do you know God? On individual level, do you know God? The story is told in Luke chapter 24. When you begin from 13, it is called the road to Emmaus. Here, Jesus Christ has died. He has been buried in the tomb. Early Sunday morning, the disciples, two women, had gone to the sepulchre to find Jesus Christ, to anoint his body, but they did not find the body of Jesus Christ. When they were going, they were contemplating. There's a stone at the tomb. Who will remove this stone for us? We are women with that strength. You see, when you are thinking about something difficult ahead and you move with a faith, God will do the rest for you. So when they got there, Bible says that the stone had been removed by the angel. They stooped to look for the body of Jesus Christ. There wasn't the body of Jesus Christ. The angel asked them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Because Jesus Christ has resurrected. And the way they were going to look for his body, but he was not there. With energy and with happiness, they ran back to the disciples. Here, the disciples has grouped together in a room for the fear of the Jews. They came and reported, Jesus is not there in the tomb. Peter did not believe it. You know, he ran back to the tomb to verify what the information, the report that they have got is right. He went there, did not find the body of Jesus Christ. The rest of the disciples were in the room praying and contemplating about the death of Jesus, about the death of their friend. But that same day, two disciples decided to go to their home, to travel from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. While the church was praying and fasting, thinking about Jesus Christ, two disciples decided, no, enough is enough. We have waited enough. We have to go to our village. Friends, are you about to go to your village? But on the road, something happened. On the road, something happened. Take your Bibles with me and open to Luke chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 18. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? On the way, when they were going and discussing, on the way, when they were thinking about Jesus, these people got a problem. The problem was that these people had been disappointed. And they were moving from the church to their village. Let me start from verse 17. And he said unto them, what kind of conversation is this that you have been having to one another, that you are walking and your face looks so sad? The disciples were going, they were talking about Jesus, and their faces were sad. Why? Because they got a problem. The problem was that they were disappointed. They were disappointed because their hope had been gone. What were they hoping for? Verse 19. And he said to them, So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and worse before God and all the people. 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucify him. These people were having a hope that Jesus Christ would be the Messiah. And to them, the Messiah cannot be crucified. To them, the Messiah has come to deliver Israel or Jews from the hands of their captives, the hands of their rulers, Romans. But here is the Messiah crucified. So they were disappointed. You know, in Christianity, there's a lot of disappointment. In the church, there's a lot of disappointment. At times, we hope for something, but you don't get it. At times, you hope that God will answer your prayers, but your prayers has not been answered, and you are disappointed with God. Friends, I have a news for you. Jesus will appear to you one day on your road. These people were going. They were going to Emmaus with that heart of disappointment, with anguish that Jesus Christ has been crucified. But Jesus knew all things. Today, Sabbath school says that eminence. He knew what they were discussing. So he decided to save them. So he appeared to them on the road. But lo and behold, they did not see Jesus Christ. He walked with them. Friends, what are you talking about? Tell me, I want to hear. What is your story? Tell me, I want to hear your story. What is your story? Jesus wants to hear your story. But when one of them, Cleopas, began to tell the story, Jesus said that, you don't know what you are talking about. And he continued from verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who would go to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since he was crucified. Yes, a certain woman of our company who traveled at the tomb early this morning has astonished us. They are reporting about the message they have got from the woman who ran to the tomb and found no body of Jesus Christ. Yes, they have come to deliver the message that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not there in the tomb. But these people heard the message, but they did not miss it with faith. You know, you can be a Christian, Seventh-day Adventist Christian, for a long time. I don't know how long you've been in the church. But my question to you is, do you know Jesus Christ? Has he appeared to you? If you know Jesus, how does he talk? How does he walk? And how does he relate to each other or his friends? Jesus was alive. He appeared to them on the road. But because they had disappointment, they did not see Jesus Christ. Are you disappointed? Are you disappointed? You see, in our disappointment, Jesus may appear to us, but because we are disappointed, we may not see him. If that is what you are going through today, I pray that God will touch you and let you see that his hands is upon you. It doesn't matter what you are going through. Jesus is with you. And when they were going, he opened the scriptures to them. And they were happy. But they did not see Jesus Christ. But until when they got to the village, Jesus acted as if somebody going his way. Imagine you have a friend on the way and you are chatting. You know the friend is going at the place where you are going. You go to your destination and he decided to move on. It was dark. So they had to invite Jesus Christ to come into their place. The question is, when they invited Jesus, did he honor that invitation? Did he honor that invitation? Yes. It tells me that when I invite Jesus Christ, he will honor my invitation. If you invite Jesus Christ, he will honor your invitation. He doesn't care where you are coming from. He doesn't care your disappointment. He doesn't care how people look at you. But what he wants is your life. I have studied this for a long time and I was just thinking of it. The rest of the disciples were in Jerusalem, in the room, in their closet, because of the fear of the Jews. They were crippled by fear. But Jesus did not appear to them. But he decided to appear to people who were going out from the group. It tells me that these people would have gone and never returned back to the church. These people would have gone to their village without coming back to the church. Jesus knew their heart and he knew their mind. So he decided to save them. Just to open the scriptures to them. So he said, fools, haven't you read the Bible, the scriptures? And he began from who? Moses. Through the prophets. And he explained everything to them. But yet, they did not see Jesus. They did not recognize that the person they were speaking to were Jesus. Until when they got home, they invited Jesus. And Jesus went in with them. They said, abide with us, for it is towards evening. It is toward the night. Come and abide with us. Then Jesus went in. Jesus did something in this text that I will never do when I go to a friend's house. And none of us will be able to do that when we go to a friend's house. The account says that when they went to the house and served the food, Jesus went to sit at the high table. Imagine you have a friend, you invited a friend to your house. And you go to your dining. You serve the food, and he had picked whatever it is to serve you. How will you feel? How will you feel? But when you invite Jesus into your house, he will serve you. So he went to the high table and took the bread and broke it. Then their eyes were opened. Most of us have been Christian for a long time. But because we have never invited Jesus Christ personally, we come to church and go back home as we came in. But when you invite Jesus Christ, he will come into your life and break the bread of life unto you. Then your eyes will open. It's quite sad that most Christians of today, we worship God 24/7, but our eyes are closed, are blind. Until individuals invite Jesus Christ, you will never see who he is. These two disciples decided to invite him. Jesus is somebody who accepts invitation from Elkanah. He will accept your invitation when you invite him. But when you refuse to invite him, you will pass on. Imagine these two disciples did not invite him. Jesus wouldn't have gone to their abode. They invited him, come and abide with us. Because it's too dark. And they need somebody who can abide with us. And when Jesus went in, he brought the bread of life unto them. And their eyes were opened. Today, in Seventh-day Adventist, the zeal to evangelize people is no more. We are all looking at the pastor. We are all looking at the elders. But individuals level, what are you doing? When you baptized some years back, you were on fire. That Jesus Christ will come the next 2 months. Where is that fire today? Where is that zeal? Jesus is passing by. And only those who invite him, he will come into their lives. He will come into their spiritual life and break the bread of life unto them. Our eyes are open. But he will come and give you the spirit of discernment that you can discern what is happening in the world. And when he does that thing for you, you can never stay aloof. You can never stay sit on these pews unconcerned. The disciple did something that I would like us to consider. When Jesus broke the bread of life to them, they forgot that they were hungry. You know what they did? They ran back to Jerusalem with a message that Jesus Christ is alive. They forgot that it was dark. They forgot that the road was thorny. They forgot that they were hungry. They packed everything and ran back to the disciples. That first, indeed, Jesus is alive. For we have seen him. For our eyes can testify that he was the one crucified. You can be a Christian, but until you see Jesus who he is, you cannot be on fire. But how do you see Jesus Christ? Salvation is individuals. It's not about church. We can come to church. Yes, it's good that we come and worship God and fellowship together. But the church cannot be on fire for you. I have to be on fire for myself. My wife cannot be on fire for me. My wife cannot work for me. I have to work for my own salvation. How long have you been a Christian, and for that matter, Seventh-day Adventist Christian? How long have you been in the church? And how many times have you witnessed the power of God to your neighbor? Now, Seventh-day Adventist we want to be like them. Them means other Christians. But friends, remember, you have been called for a solemn mission. You are not like any ordinary denomination. You have been called with prophetic gifts. What are you using your gift for? Do you know Jesus? Have you met Jesus? If you have met Jesus, what did Jesus told you? What he told you, have you been doing it? Or are you so weak to carry forward the mandate? When these disciples realized that it was Jesus, friends, they couldn't stay at home. They couldn't stay, but they ran back and gave the message to the brethren who were so fearful. Last Wednesday, I was here in the morning. There's a prayer group here. Every Wednesday they meet. They are senior citizens of this church. They come every Wednesday and pray for the church. They come every Wednesday morning, 10 to 12, and pray for this church. I joined them this Wednesday. And after praying with them, we decided to just go to visit our brethren. People are dying without hope. And we are here. This church is here for a reason. Perhaps you've forgotten about that reason. If you don't do that work, God has ways and means of doing it. But remember, he will ask you a question one day. Friends, our Savior will come. Let's prepare ourselves and prepare others by inviting Jesus into your heart, into your marriage, into your home. He will come and amend everything that is going on. I have testified to that, and if you can testify, if you can try, you will testify to that also. Invite Jesus on your personal level. Talk to him like a friend. On the road to Emmaus, these people spoke to Jesus. They told him their heart anguish. They told him their disappointment. They told him their problem. And Jesus Christ took time to educate them on the road. And did not leave them on the road, but he escorted them until they entered their house. And when they invited him, he accepted their invitation. My Jesus is someone who accepts an honest invitation from anywhere. When you invite him, he will come and dine with you. Revelation says that he's passing by. He's knocking. Are you going to open the door for him to come in? Are you going to ask Jesus, Jesus, I want you to be part of my life? Remember, you may study the Sabbath school. You may study the Bible. You may interpret even the spirit of prophecies without knowing Jesus. It's not automatic. Remember, it's not automatic. Knowing Jesus comes with inviting him as a person into your life. It doesn't matter being a pastor. It doesn't matter being an elder. It doesn't matter being a church member. Anyone who invites Jesus, he will come and be with you. It is my humble prayer that our toil will never be in vain. Let's strengthen each other. I know most of us are going through troubles, but let's get hold of each other and motivate and inspire each other that we can all push forward the work until our Savior comes and takes us home. For this world is not our place. We have a better place to go. But until then, our heart will go on singing. Until then, we prepare ourselves and waiting for our Savior. Until then, do the work of God. For no sooner than later, your Savior will break up the sky and say that I'm coming for my captives. We shall be marching to Zion, and I would like to see you there. I would like to see our children there. Our elder, I want to see you there. Any one of these church members here, I would like to see all of us when Jesus comes. Let's prepare ourselves and invite Jesus Christ into our house, and the Lord will bless us. Amen.